Welcome to Into the Garden with Leslie here on News Radio WINA, sponsored by Dos Amigos Landscaping. I'm Leslie Harris, and I'm so happy to have you join us again on this gardening show. The goal of the show is to provide a fun and informative platform to learn about all parts of gardening. And today, we are going to learn about one of our favorite plants here in Virginia. Our plant of the week is the classic evergreen that so many people love and have loved for centuries because it was introduced to the United States from Europe in the mid-17th century. We'll also be chatting with Michael Abbott of Bartlett Tree Experts, who's going to help us understand about boxwood blight. So that might give away a little bit of the mystery as to what the plant of the week is. Lastly, our plant list will include how to play in your garden this week and what might be fun for you to listen to at the same time. This week, I've really concentrated. It's basically one song and basically one line from that song, but it runs through my mind at this time of year, so I'll share it with you. A couple of corrections from the last show. If you listened to my interview with Jason LaRose, at that time when I recorded that interview, I was still thinking that my email for this podcast would be intothegarden@blah, blah, blah. Anyway, my email, if you ever want to write to me, is lharris@lhgardens.com. And you can also get in touch with me on Instagram, and that's Leslie Harris LH. And the other thing that I wanted to say is that I laid out for you that I would be filling up all my containers this week and be ready for Historic Garden Week. That actually kind of didn't happen, although most of them happened. And as I'm recording this, I still have a week to go and big plans for getting it all ready for people tromping through. I can't wait to see them a week from tomorrow. How is your spring going? Mine is primo. As you're listening to this, it's just like so beautiful out there and the dogwoods are bursting into life. I'm very excited about having people walk through my garden, as I said, but I have this actually kind of weird thing going on where I'm all about what's bad in the garden so that I can fix it before people come. And that's a shame. And I try to, at the end of the day, walk around with a cold beer in my hand to look at what's good in the garden. And there is so much good. It's kind of like golf, where you're really supposed to X out those bad shots and concentrate only on the good ones. I wasn't ever really good at that, which is why my husband is the golfer of the family. And yet it's a great mental exercise to conquer. And I'm hopeful to do it for my garden and just realize, hey, it's good. And things are going to be really nice a week from now. I do wish that all of you would think about air conditioning thoughts aimed right at my double tulips that I planted, because they usually are in perfection this week of April. And they're in perfection now as I talk about it. Well, they're probably 3 days short. So that means that they will be a little bit past by the time people come through. I'm sure there'll still be a few hangers on, and I'm hopeful that they'll make a good show. Besides, I'll enjoy them next year. It's all good. It's all good. Things are coming into bloom all the time. So the plant of the week. I wish this were a native because it is a beloved plant, and it is the boxwood. It sounds like a native because there's a type called the American boxwood, right? Yeah, not so lucky. But here are the good things about it. It's deer resistant. It's great in shade. It's great in sun. The only fuss factor is that it doesn't like wet feet, so no wet soil, please. And in fact, when you go to plant it, you might, instead of planting it to the exact level of the soil, you might want to pop it up just like half an inch so that those top roots are really enjoying some air. It does not like mulch. It's okay to put a little layer around the outside of the plant, but don't crowd it up. No woody plant likes mulch, but particularly boxwood, and we're going to talk about the blight and moisture and that kind of thing, and no air circulation. Do not mulch your boxwoods heavily, if at all. There are so many types. They can be 10 inches tall. They can be 20 feet tall. They can be roundish. They can be columnar. They can be variegated. I have this tall, skinny one. It's called the Fastigiata. And I was growing it in my garden in Connecticut. It was probably about 6 feet tall when I moved away. And a friend of ours actually bought the house, and she thought it was quirky. She wasn't in love with it. She knew I loved it. So when other mutual friends were driving down the Jersey Turnpike from Connecticut to Virginia, it was in the front, middle, and back part of their little Subaru station wagon all the way down. They called it Henry. It arrived here in Charlottesville, and it took a couple of seasons to decide that it liked Charlottesville, but it does, and it is very happy now, very fuzzy, and I think closing in on 8 feet tall. So care and pruning, we're actually going to talk about pruning when we get to the playlist, and we'll talk about when to do that and how to do that. The other diseases besides the blight, which we'll figure out soon, there are some, and boxwoods can be a little fussy. There are leaf miners that get in there. There's Phytophthora, which is a very big mouthful of word, which actually means root rot, and that has to do with planting it in the right place, which is not a wet place. Phytophthora is actually the disease that led to the potato famine in Ireland, because all those potatoes didn't like all that damp soil either. There's something called boxwood decline, and that happens in the type of old English boxwood. The fancy name for that is the sufructuosa boxwood. Sufructuosa. Anyway, those grow so slowly that a medium-sized plant might look young, but it ain't young. And so at about 20 years or so, they're going to die anyway, and it might start earlier with this decline disease by dying off on certain branches. So you can yank it, or you could just take away what's bad. It's really up to you. So coming up, we're going to talk with Michael Abbott from Bartlett Tree Experts about one of the saddest things that can happen to boxwoods, and that is the blight, but we'll figure it out, and it's much more hopeful than you think. It's sort of like COVID. We didn't know a lot about it at the beginning, but science has caught up and things are looking up. So I can't wait to hear about that. Welcome back to Into the Garden with Leslie, broadcasting on News Radio WINA. I'm Leslie Harris, and we're talking with Michael Abbott about boxwood blight today. Michael, welcome and thank you so much for coming onto the show. Michael's a certified arborist and the manager of our local Charlottesville office of Bartlett Tree Experts. Locally, we had a really terrible bout of boxwood blight over the summer and into the fall of 2018, I think. Was that the right date? Yeah. And luckily we're through that. It's like what we're going to be feeling. Like, we had this terrible COVID thing and we're through that, but it's still a thing. So tell us what went so wrong at that time and why it went so wrong.
Well, so boxwood blight is a disease that's actually been in Charlottesville, Central Virginia area since around 2012. There were a couple cases, at least the ones that I'm aware of. People actually went to great lengths to try and eliminate the pathogen, try and isolate it, quarantine, you might say, for yes. COVID language. Yeah. And like most diseases, quarantine, it really only worked so well. We think boxwood blight was spreading in those years, but it was very subtle. Most people didn't notice it or weren't aware of it. In 2018, we had a record year of rainfall, and I believe it was maybe in the 80-inch range of rainfall that year. What that did was create the perfect conditions for boxwood blight to thrive. Because of that wet and also humid weather that we had, a consistent, very high humidity, the blight just exploded. It definitely was moved about in 2018, but I do think some of it was that it had been moving silently prior to that. And then we had the weather conditions for a major outbreak. It was certainly the news of the garden world in 2018.
It was. I mean, people were like telling mailmen not to come onto the property. And it was like the early stages of COVID. It wasn't quite sure how it was being spread. And so it was a little bit of a panic thing. And now we know a little bit more about it, and you're going to tell us even more. But why is it just the rainfall that has made it sort of calm down again? Or why are we calmer now?
Yes, that's part of it. Weather conditions drive this disease, as they drive most diseases. And so a lot of diseases have cyclical nature to them based on weather, boxwood blight definitely being that. So then 2019 was a more average year in terms of rainfall. Boxwood blight receded into the background a little bit. But then in 2020 was another year of very high rainfall and high humidity, and blight, if you want to say, came back with a vengeance. It was there all along. But there were a lot of cases. The other things that happened is, I will say, the response from the gardening world, the horticultural community in Charlottesville was actually pretty strong. People took it very seriously. People took precautions. People treated. People removed infested plants. Definitely helped 2019 be a better year.
Oh, I'm so glad, because we love our boxwoods around here. So without getting into the science too much, could you tell us what boxwood blight is, layman terms?
First of all, it's a disease that is caused by a fungus. A fungus is a whole different kingdom of organism, separate from insects or plants. And fungi thrive in wet and moist conditions. Fungi affects boxwood by way of the leaf. The spore lands on the leaf. And for lack of a better word, a spore is sort of like a seed. So the spore lands on the leaf. If the conditions are right, it grows. And then it begins to grow. It penetrates the leaf, grows intercellularly in between the cells of the leaf in the mesosphil. And eventually, well, it causes what we see as a little black spot. That's the first thing we see. That eventually will kill the leaf. The leaf will drop off. as it spreads, it'll actually move into the twigs and branches of the boxwoods as well, and it will kill those as well.
All right, so it starts with a leaf and goes to the branches, and sometimes, sadly, the entire bush. This is Into the Garden with Leslie on News Radio WINA. This show is made possible by Dos Amigos Landscaping, and we're talking with Michael Abbott from Bartlett Tree Experts about the boxwood blight, which is a sad topic, but one we need to know about. So we've talked about what it is and what makes it tick, that high humidity and that rain. So let's talk about what individual homeowners might be able to do about it. First of all, the best form of recognition is black, is defoliation? What should we look for first?
Yes, I think defoliation, which means the leaves drop off the plant.
Thank you. That is a fancy word. I don't use fancy words often, but it's good to clarify.
Yeah, that's right. That's the number one sign that a homeowner is going to be able to see. These black spots that you see on the leaf are actually pretty short-lived. You may catch them, you may not, but it's the leaf dropping off. That's the big symptom. The other thing to remember is there are lots of other disease and insect problems of boxwood, and they can look similar, but most of those don't cause the leaves to drop off. They might cause leaves to turn brown on the plant, but they'll usually stay hanging on the twigs. When you see leaves really just dropping off of the plant, and there's a whole pile of them on the ground underneath, that's a good sign it might be blight.
It's a good sign it might be blight, but it's not 100% certain. It's sort of 90%-ish.
Correct. So I've looked at several boxwoods this spring where people were certain it was blight. The leaves had turned brown. They were dropping off. But it turned out that it was boxwood leaf miner, which is an insect and a super common pest of boxwood. And so I've seen quite a few places where from the outside, it really looked like blight and it actually wasn't. So it's a good reason to have somebody check it. But
and so how do we, if we're like, oh gosh, this might be blight, what do? I can't find out by myself, citizen gardener, can I? I need to call in an expert.
Yeah, that's right. To be certain, you should. Bartlett takes care of boxwoods, as do many other companies in the area. And so calling an arborist or a horticulturalist, having them check, it would be the first step. You could also go to the County Extension Service and take a sample to them. If nothing else, you could take a picture and email it, whether that be to an arborist or whether it be to the Extension Service, and they could get you started from pictures. And you should be aware, sort of like COVID again, that it is a contagious disease of boxwoods. And so if you're bringing it somewhere where there are other boxwoods, you know, you want to have it sealed in a Ziploc bag, not just floating around in the backseat of your car.
It's an airborne spore, correct?
Well, yes.
Or is it a tactile thing? Do we have to wash our groceries? I mean,
no, but we do know a lot about it now, and we think we really understand how it spreads better. A lot of fungi are windborne. Air spread in the air. Blight is actually a very heavy spore. It does not blow around in the wind nearly as well as something like powdery mildew, rust, anthracnose. There's several other different fungal diseases that are much more wind spread or windborne than blight. Blight is spread by animals. It's spread by water, heavy rain droplets splashing it around. Birds, deer, dogs, and of course,
mailman,
right? Man, the ultimate animal, the pinnacle of the animal kingdom. We spread it as well, right?
Okay.
It could be our shoes. It could be our lawnmowers.
Yes.
It could be the mailbag. Yeah, that's
okay.
True.
All right. This is Into the Garden with Leslie. We're talking on News Radio WINA, and this show is sponsored by Dos Amigos Landscaping. Our topic today is boxwood blight, and we love our boxwoods here in Virginia and everywhere. And Michael Abbott is telling us how to figure out more about this common disease. So once you feel like you might have seen it, you're going to look for that defoliation, the leaves falling down. You're going to call an expert. Is there any way? So it sounds like prevention for the homeowner is basically knowledge. Prevention for the professional like you has to do with sprays and chemicals. Is that correct?
Yeah. Well, I think there are two parts. Yeah, there's prevention and there's treatment, obviously, as you're alluding to. The one thing I want to make sure and say early on to make sure people know is that boxwood blight turns out to be a very treatable disease.
Oh.
And that is something that is not widely known. And I've seen a lot of people lose their boxwoods because some of the early information that was put out about blight was it's hopeless. Just burn them. They're going to die. That's not the case. If it's caught early, if it's treated, it's treatable. But to speak of prevention, as far as a homeowner goes, prevention is knowledge. You're absolutely right. But it's also being careful not to bring infected material to your house, whether that be boxwoods from a nursery that doesn't seem to take good care of their material, right? And just throws the plants around and might have some diseased ones in there. So making sure I'm buying boxwoods from a good nursery that's responsible and treats and keeps their plants up. But same thing as far as, you know, you take garden tools over to some other property and you work around boxwoods. If, when you bring those tools home, sanitize them, use a bleach and water solution or use a Lysol solution and sanitize those tools. Same thing goes for us so-called professionals in the green industry, hopefully we all are, is that we need to be careful to sanitize our tools as well. Whether that's lawnmowers or whether that's hoses on a spray truck or even boots or uniforms, that kind of stuff, when you move from property to property, needs to be cleaned.
So my little business does move from property to property. Whenever we deal with boxwoods, we've probably cornered the market for all people who couldn't buy Clorox wipes early in the pandemic. We had them in my garage because we use a lot of them between for roses, also for that rosette disease. My greatest, I don't know, complaint about this is that there are landscapers out there who are just great guys making a great living, taking care of lawns, cutting things, making it all neat, but they don't know the rules of the game. So should we not caution homeowners to just quiz their wonderful landscapers? It doesn't condemn them as landscapers, but just to make sure, hey, you know about this boxwood blight, right? And you're doing what you need to do to keep me safe, right? Like what should homeowners ask their landscapers?
Yes, that is correct. There are a lot of people out there that just aren't aware and they may be great at what they do. This is just not part of their daily routine. They're not aware of it. I've seen boxwoods where there was literally a stripe of blight right at the height of the mowing deck. And it was clearly that where they had mowed on one other property, it came and mowed there. And so, homeowner needs to ask that question. Are you sanitizing your tools? Like I said before, bleach and water, Clorox, or what we use is a Lysol concentrate. Make sure that stuff is cleaned in between properties where boxwoods are, and obviously where boxwoods are infected. That's really obvious.
What is the future science of the problem? Are they honing in on how to control it better and better? Obviously, you talked about the change from the beginning when people thought that it was hopeless. Is there more hope in the future as more science gets into this?
Yeah, I think there's probably two ways to think of that. Number one, a lot of the hope does revolve around treatment and chemical treatment. There are fungicides that work well against boxwood blight that will prevent its spread within a plant, within a property. And if those fungicides are used at the proper times, at the proper intervals, it works. So that's the real sort of the immediate hope for the future, is that if you have boxwoods that you care about, or that are under threat from blight, treating works and can make a big difference right now. Blight requires it to be warm. So it needs to be in the upper 60s during the day for most of the day for the disease to succeed and grow. And ideally, it needs to be in the 70s. In summer, there's periods where it's too hot. If it's in the 90s, it's actually too hot for blight.
So the spores don't go away, but they're latent and they can't spread?
They're latent and they can't grow. They can still be spread
and just lay in wait. Okay.
Yeah, that's right. They lay in wait for the right weather. So understanding about prevention and treatment and timing those for the weather is hope for the future. The other thing is the hope of having better, longer lasting fungicides that would give a control through a systemic treatment. Right now, that is not available. The fungicides are sprayed on the plant, so they're foliar. If we could get something that we could actually drench in the ground or inject into the plant that would give a longer period of control, that would be a great advancement. And there are people working on that very thing.
And so good. So hope for the future. I would venture to say, although we don't have time to talk about it, unfortunately, that they're also working. I know Saunders Brothers is working on blight resistant varieties and cultivars of
yes,
this plant.
That's a great point that I failed to mention. Resistance is huge. And so, people are working on breeding resistant varieties, and be mindful that there are resistant varieties out there now.
So there is hope for the future. Michael, thank you so much for coming onto the show. This is Into the Garden with Leslie on News Radio WINA, brought to you by Dos Amigos Landscaping. Next, we'll be talking about what to do in your garden right now. It might include boxwood trimming. We'll talk about that. And what to listen to while you are out there. We call this the playlist because it's always a great time to play in the garden. This is Into the Garden with Leslie on News Radio WINA, and it's time for the playlist, which is weekly practical information on what to do in your garden right now, and maybe what to listen to while you're out there doing it, if nature isn't your first choice, which it maybe should be. So that was a great interview. Michael was so informative, and it's really great to know that the science of blight is much more optimistic than it was several years ago, and it's improving, and then there's a lot of hope. But you do have to know how to take care of your boxwood to keep it safe from this disease. And I think it's really important that you talk with your landscaper, that they know how this disease works. And I also think it's important that you keep air circulation going for your boxwood. So let's see, how would you do that? You would not lay down a heavy layer of mulch, just mulch up to the edges to make it look good and just kind of feather it in there. You would not even have low branches. We call this lifting the skirt of a shrub. If the branches are dragging along the ground, there's just not a lot of air that can go up there. So lift the skirt maybe 3, maybe 6 inches from the bottom so air can get up there. And the last one is pruning intelligently. So let's talk about when to prune boxwoods. A perfect time to do it is in winter before they break dormancy, but you can do it any time of year up until mid to late fall. And the reason that you don't want to do it then, for any plant really, is because until a plant goes into its dormancy, when you go to cut it, if you cut live tissue, the plant will respond by growing. And if it does that right before a cold frost comes in for winter, that new tender part of the plant will get injured, and it might injure the entire plant. So late fall is never a great time for pruning, but it doesn't necessarily mean it absolutely will kill the plant. It's just a great time to avoid it. Later winter, early spring, and this time of year. Now, the only thing that's not so great about this time of year, and I'm actually facing this dilemma as I sit here recording 1 week away from Historic Garden Week, I have some boxwoods that are shaped like little lollipops and these two columnar ones in front that I'm thinking, oh, I think they're a little fuzzy looking. I could get those tight and they look really cool. But the reason that they're fuzzy looking is because they have their fresh spring growth coming out. And that is incredibly appealing. I mean, it's a beautiful fresh color. You know that color. And so there's part of me that says, yeah, just let the fuzz be. I think I'll make that decision sometime this week. And if you come to see my garden, you'll know that either I went for the tidy look, or it's just like, yeah, fuzzy green is a good way to go. So let's talk about ways to prune. We talked about lifting the skirt. It kind of depends on what you like your plant to look like. There are people, and I'm one of them, who might like a real naturalistic, cloudy looking plant, like a plant that looks like a plant. And then there are other people, and I'm one of them too, who likes a green meatball or a green column or a green lollipop. So depending on where in my garden, sometimes I keep a tight rein on my boxwoods and sometimes I let them get all fluffy. It kind of depends on what you like. But if you like that tight look, you still need to reach in and go hard at pruning inside of the plant and not just trimming on the outside. Every time you trim on the outside, the new growth is only going to come on the outside, and the sun and the rain and the air circulation can't get to the inside because the outside is so thick. So make sure, even if you're going for that formal look of a lollipop or some sort of topiary boxwood, that there is air going into that plant and that there is new growth happening inside your outside shape. That's kind of hard to describe on the radio, but I hope you get it. So you're going to lift the skirts. You're going to poke holes. I heard somebody describe it like, well, it's no good unless it looks like Swiss cheese. Well, I think it can look good if it doesn't look like Swiss cheese. It just depends. But Swiss cheese is healthy on a boxwood if you like that airy look. Two other quick things to do in your garden right now. It's a great time to start thinking about your staking for peonies. LH Gardens, my wonderful little crew, we always use just green wooden bamboo stakes and green twine. I don't love the look of those things that people sell, that like with the metal and the hoops, because when I look at a peony with the metal and the hoops, guess what I'm looking at? Metal hoops. So if you can do it more subtly and people are just looking at your peonies instead of your crazy metal hoops, that's nice. But again, it's up to you. Those crazy metal hoops can be handy if you want to go quickly. We work for one client and we asked them, because it's time consuming, would you like us to stake your peonies? And she said, why would I want you to stake my peonies? I just want to cut them and bring them in. I'm like, oh, that's such a great solution. Who needs to stake peonies? But other clients and I like my peonies to be well behaved, depending on where they are. And so I do use stakes with green twine. And another thing that you might want to do, and here is my non-vegetable gardener voice coming forward to you. I've already betrayed my secret that I'm a terrible vegetable gardener, but I know that it's time to start sowing your warm weather veg seeds, such as your peppers and your eggplants and your cantaloupes and your tomatoes. And you want to keep those seeds warm, maybe keep them indoors or just keep an eye on the weather. And then by the time you are ready for warm weather, they will be ready for warm weather and you'll have cute little seedlings. Okay, that's all I know about that. So what to listen to while you're out in the garden? So there's a song called Chasing Cars by a Scottish-Irish alternative band that's called Snow Patrol. I think it got big in the early 2000s. You would probably recognize the song because it was on the radio a lot. There's just one line about the song and it just keeps running through my head. And it is, and I won't sing it for you because I'm your friend. It is, show me a garden that's bursting into life. It just, I'm looking at my garden and it's bursting into life. And that song keeps running through my head. Funny aside, this is a love song. Chasing Cars doesn't sound like a love song. Well, the title has to do with infatuation and a dog chasing a car. Like, okay, I'm infatuated with this person. I'm going to chase it. If the dog actually was successful and caught the car, what would it do with it? So it's a little bit of unsure love there. This was really fun. If you have any questions or comments or corrections, you know where to find me, lharris@lhgardens.com or Leslie Harris LH. I would like to thank our sponsor, Dos Amigos Landscaping. I named this show Into the Garden with Leslie because I am really into my garden and I want to get you into yours. I'll see you next week.